Welcome back to the Grappling Discourse podcast. Guys, today will be a shorter episode, but I want to make 10 really bold PGF predictions. And when I say bold predictions, I want you to think of these as like plus money. Things that are, some people would say, are unlikely to happen, that maybe the community would feel like is unlikely to happen, that I believe there's a good shot of happening. The other thing I want to talk about is the one thing that you should add to your training. You should make this a goal every single month. And if you do this, you will be blown away. In 6 months, I guarantee you will be a much, much better grappler and you will be very pleased with the results. But let's get right into the PGF. The draft starts tomorrow. Then these guys will be competing for 4 straight days. They will have 3 matches a day, so 12 matches total. We will crown a regular season champion or a team champion. Each of those guys will receive $20,000. Then at the end of the week, 8-man bracket on UFC Fight Pass, winner gets another $20,000. Now, like I said, these are going to be really bold. And my first big prediction is that 3 or more grapplers will score 0 points. They will have 0 subs for the season. They will go 0 for 12 subwise. Now, I was listening to PJ Barch. He did an interview on Alex Wendling's YouTube channel. It was a great interview. I'd highly recommend you guys go check it out. But PJ was kind of talking about how he likes the PGF format and that there's a pretty diverse group of grapplers. You've got some very, very talented, like very, very well-known grapplers at the top. And he was alluding to just the big skill gap difference. And I think he feels like the guys that are in the top 6 or 7 are much more talented than those bottom 10. And while I wouldn't necessarily agree with that, I do think there's a pretty big difference between the top 5 and the bottom 5. And I definitely think the bottom 5 guys, while they're all very talented grapplers, we all know this season there are some heavy hitters, and I think some of those guys are going to be lucky to even get one submission victory. And so I'm predicting that there's going to be some dudes hanging out at the bottom, and there's a good chance that they don't score all season. And you talk about hurting your team. I mean, if you put up 0 points, the odds that your team walks away with $20,000 apiece, probably not going to happen. Second big prediction, I think one of the purple belts, in particular, I'm talking about Kevin Buehring and Jet Thompson. I think one of those guys make the playoffs. Now, this would be pretty huge because both these guys are really young. And I'm not talking about, like, I know Davis. I'm pretty sure Davis is still a purple belt, but, like, I don't count the new wave guys. Davis got second at the European trials. He's one of the hottest grapplers on the scene right now at under 170 pounds. I'm talking about the two young guys that not a lot of people know. These guys have been ranked. I mean, Kevin's been ranked as low as 18th. On my board, he was, I believe, 9, maybe 10, but he was in that top 10, near the bottom of that top 10. I've seen him as high as ranked as, I think, 6, but I feel like most rankings have him below 10. And Jet, definitely every single ranking has him in the bottom 10. But I think one of those guys ends up making the playoffs. Now, Kevin, it's going to be the breaks, and he'll probably have to get 1 or 2 chokes to get enough points to finish in the top 8. Jet, I feel like he's got a more diverse arsenal, and I could see him getting more choke finishes than Kevin. But at the same time, I wonder how his arsenal stacks up against a lot of these other guys. What I like about both of them is they're young enough and they've been underdogs. Like, I feel like those young guys, they're just used to being underdogs. So whenever they do enter into adult brackets, like with Jet when he was a teenager competing against adults, you're the underdog. Kevin Buehring, much the same. You know, when he entered the first season of the PGF, he was a brand new blue belt. Had a phenomenal season, ended up getting beat by David Everage. But since then, he has improved so much. And while he didn't have the best ADCC trials performance, I mean, his first match was against Alan Sanchez, who's an absolute stud. And so I didn't really see that hurting his stock. And again, I really think one of those two guys is going to make the playoffs, and they're going to be the dark horse this year, the guy that everybody's like, man, I love that young guy that came out of nowhere that nobody really knew about, and they're going to make a big name for himself on the PGF stage. I'm predicting that Hegan Machado finishes in last place. Now, we've had some multiple coaching changes, right? It was supposed to be Eddie Bravo, Andre Galvao. Both of them pulled out, right? We've got now Jean-Jacques Machado, Hegan Machado, Dean Lister, and Hajar Gracie. And I just have a feeling that Hegan doesn't really keep up with modern jiu-jitsu. I have a feeling that Hegan's probably not going to do a lot of research coming into this. I just think he's going to be the least prepared. And for some reason, I just have a feeling that he's going to mess this draft up. I think his team is going to be the worst. Now, I don't really have anything to back it up other than a gut instinct, but I have a feeling that he's going to finish last. And if I had to predict, I have a feeling it's going to be Dean Lister 1, with then Hajar and Jean-Jacques in those middle twos, like second and third. And then, but I just have a feeling Dean Lister is going to be 1 and Hegan's going to be last. Fourth prediction. I think the top two guys for sure are going to be PJ Barch and Andy Varela. Now, I don't really consider this a bold prediction, and that a lot of people have them. I mean, I think everybody pretty much has them ranked in the top two. I have seen a couple like Elijah Carlton's in the number one spot, which, I love Elijah. I'm a huge fan of his. Obviously, I've called tons of his matches. You guys know I've said it a million times how big of a fan I am. But you guys also know I try to keep it real and honest, and I just don't see anybody coming close to PJ and Andy this season. And I think those two guys kind of run away with it, much like Travis and Elijah last season, where at the end of the season, they were by far the two top point getters. I think we're going to see the same thing. What Andy did to John Combs and Max Hansen at the ADCC trials blew me away. In that third place match, after losing that heartbreaker to Andrew Tech, it just really showed the grit that Andy Varela's got. And it really shows how perfect he is for the PGF. You cannot get heartbroken. You can't have a poor performance or go out there and just take a tough loss or take a tough draw. You got to be able to come right back an hour later and have an A game. Go out there and put on a performance and get points on the board. And Andy showcased that to me. And the way he beat Max Hansen, who I do think is going to make the playoffs this season, just showed to me like there are levels to this, even like this season. And in the past, we've seen like Elijah again run away with seasons before. I think we're going to see those two run away, and it's going to be a 1-2. And I think we're going to see a lot of, I think it's going to come down to the last day, and we'll see who the top regular season point getter is, but it will be one of those two guys. I think for my next prediction, I think that there will be more breaks than chokes this season. Now, we do have some pretty big choke specialists. I mean, I would consider Andy Varela, John Combs, Mike John, and a couple of other guys, like they are choke specialists. But when I look at the season as a whole, like the competitors as a whole, I see a lot of dudes that play a lot of leg locks. Got guys like Davis Asari, Max Hansen, PJ Barch does a lot of leg locks, obviously Elijah and Kevin Buring. I think we are going to see a lot of joint locks, and the dudes that can get chokes, it's going to be a premium this season. And if you can get 3 chokes, I really do think you're in the playoffs. So if you can just finish 3 of your 12 matches by chokes, you'll probably make it. But you're going to have to take points where you can get them. And some of these guys are going to be very, very tough to score on. Even those guys that I think are going to score 0 points this season, those guys are still very, very, very good grapplers. And all of them, like when I look at the season, there's not one guy I'm like, man, this guy's like a hobbyist. He's really just out there to like have fun, you know? in the past, we've had those dudes. I remember in the first season, we had guys that, I mean, basically trained twice a week. Once or twice a week. And they were just there because they thought it was a cool idea. We've come a long way since then. And so, yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of joint locks, particularly the heel hooks. And I'm hoping we don't lose too many guys. But I think we're going to have at least one person. This is the next bold prediction. We're going to have at least one person quit due to them being unhappy with the results they're getting. And with the talent increase, right, with these nationally known guys, right, what comes with that are big egos. It's like I said just a second ago. We used to have dudes that would come in and they were just average grapplers, right? They were just dudes that like, this is my hobby. I've got a 9-to-5. This is definitely not my full-time gig. I'm a blue belt. We had white belts, you know, and they didn't have like, they just wanted to go out there, have fun. And yeah, they were disappointed when they lost, but they were just happy to be there. There's no one feeling that way this season. Most of these guys are black belts. Most of these guys have competed at a very, very high level. So a lot of these guys, I'd say pretty much all these guys do this full time. I mean, I'd say maybe there's two or three that don't. Like, I don't think David Evers, like, he's got a real job. But I think most of these guys, like, they are pursuing this full time. And so I think we're going to have at least one guy quit because their ego can't handle it. They're going to have a rough first day. Maybe start off the second day rough, and then they're just going to quit. Now, typically, what does that look like? They get an injury, and I'm doing air quotes right now. Like, I'm injury. They're not going to be injured. We've had this happen multiple seasons, but not every season. But I can think of at least three athletes in the past seasons that have quit. And again, they've said they were injured, but they weren't really injured. They quit because they weren't getting the results they wanted. Their ego was hurt. They knew they had 8+ more matches, and they just dropped out. And I think one of those people, or one of these like high nationally ranked guys, are going to take the easy way out. And I cannot wait to see who it is, because that, to me, is one of the most fun aspects, or just the most interesting aspects of the PGF, is seeing who can just do 12 matches, who can last the whole week. There is kind of like a kind of a David Goggins-esque, where it's like, man, if you just make it to the finish line, that's an accomplishment in its own. Because there have been a couple of black belts that have literally dropped out of the PGF for no good reason. Because they weren't having to the success that they thought they were going to have. Had some draws with some blue belts. Got tapped by some lower belts and they quit. And that's going to happen this season. I really do predict one person will at least quit because of the ego, and the PGF will break them. Next, I think that we will see multiple flying submissions this season. So in the past, we haven't really seen a lot of like flying submissions, right? We saw, I think, Joe Kai got a flying triangle in season one. I can't remember if Travis got a flying triangle last season. He might have. But the flying submissions have been very, very rare. But this season, we have got Hanato Kanuto. We've got Andy Varela. We've got Daniel Sadler. Just those three guys right there are high-flying acrobatic grapplers. These guys are going to be probably trying to do backflip passes, and they are going to throw multiple flying submissions, especially in that first minute. If I'm the coach and my guys are going against one of those dudes, I'm very aware of like, hey, just be very aware of where you're tying up. Even if you're sitting guard, just be very careful about where your hands are, because these guys, I mean, Hanato Kanuto and Andy especially, and hell, Daniel Sather, I mean, hit that flying triangle on Max Hansen at WNO. So I think we're going to see multiple flying submissions. And this season, you know, if you're looking for those like, oh shit moments, this season is going to provide more than ever. And I can't wait to see what the submission of the season looks like, because we've had some great ones in the past, but just with those three in particular, And, you know, there's a bunch of other really good athletes as well. But just those three, I'm expecting something absolutely crazy. Next prediction. I think we will see some pretty, I don't want to say a fight, but we're going to see some tempers flare, particularly over the stalling call. Now, this is the big new rule coming into this season. Every season, the PGF change a little bit, whether it's adding the elbow genie rule or changing the playoff format or adding, you know, like, hey, we're going to have a women's season with the men's, or now we're just going to do a women's tournament at the end. Like, the PGF always just changes. It's always just tweaking a little bit. And this season, the big tweak is that stalling call. And we saw it. If you watched the PGF qualifier, you saw that in play, and it came into play in a pretty big way. And I think it's going to come into play a bunch this season. I think there's a couple of guys in particular that play kind of more cagey style. I wouldn't even say stalling, because I don't think any of these guys stall. But even a guy like Kanato Kanuda, while he is arguably the most exciting grappler this season, he also kind of plays cagey. He kind of plays the edge of the mat sometimes. He looks for these openings where he can get off his flying, you know, passes and submissions and everything. But I can see him in a certain matchup, particularly against a guy maybe like Elijah Carlton, where Elijah's sitting on his butt, and I can see him kind of playing the dance game, just trying to feel Elijah out. And I can see somebody calling stalling on him, and I can see him getting very upset. And so I think we're going to see a couple of athletes really lose their mind over this stalling call. And I think it's going to provide some of the most interesting pieces of drama for this season. Will a punch be thrown? So we got two more predictions. Will a punch be thrown? I know a lot of people are predicting there to be some tempers or some, you know, some fights. Last season, we saw some really, really hard collar ties that really, a couple of them looked like slap. I mean, obviously, we had Noah Randolph versus the Rock Troll. And Rock Troll slapped Noah. I mean, 100%. He slapped Noah. Noah gave him back a hard collar tie. And then he threw, you know, Maximus threw a card, even harder collar tie, and they were real close to coming to blows. Same thing with Kamoy and the Minnesota Maniac, Nick Creighton. But that was really it, you know, and I never got any crazier than that. But I think this season, particularly with AJ Agazarra, there is a chance that a punch is thrown, especially. I think already, you know, even just like listening to like Andy and PJ, they've got some, I don't want to, they've got some beef. They've got some unsettled beef. You know, Andy wants to be the best 10th planet representative. PJ, you know, he's like, hey, I'm the top dog. I finished top four at ADCC, so I'm the best 10th planet guy. You've got AJ, you've got Elijah Carlton, and I mean, hell, I mean, Elijah's always jawing with different people. So will there be a punch? I'm going to say no, but I know a lot of people are predicting yes. And I think that would be one of the most interesting, like, hey, I'm betting with DraftKings. If this was on DraftKings, then I would pick no, but I think it would be one of the most bet on things this season. And last but not least, I'm going to go ahead and crown my champion. I believe that Andy Varela, and I've switched back and forth, I've said PJ, I've said Andy, I've said Renato Canuto has a chance, but I'm going with Andy Varela. I think Andy Varela finds a way. He will be on the winning team during the regular season, and I think that he will win the postseason, and I think he walks away with $40,000. All right, guys, what is the one thing that you are not doing in your training? And this is something that I've been talking to the athletes about after a couple of big competitions. And just looking at the weaknesses of our school, and I think most jiu-jitsu schools in general, is that when you have a bunch of different teachers, you've got you know, a bunch of different people teaching different curriculums, when your school's a little bit more relaxed like ours, where I think one of our biggest strengths is that our students roll, I feel like, more than most schools. They get tons and tons of open grappling rounds. They've been doing a lot more positional sparring as well. Like my classes, now that I'm teaching Mondays and Wednesdays, the competition prep classes, there's a lot of sparring in those classes, or a lot of positional sparring. I know Brandon on Tuesday, Thursday during his classes, he usually opens with positional sparring and closes with positional sparring. But I feel like our students have been missing just dead drilling. Just drilling specific sequences, particularly sequences that are a part of their A game, their competition A game. And I know that might seem obvious, right? Like, oh, and you go, well, most people, like, I go to class, I drill. But I'm telling you, when I watch most people drill, and this is something I've pointed out to a couple of the athletes, just, hey, watch the average white, blue, purple, just the average practitioner drill. It looks like absolute shit. It looks like they're just going through the motions. It looks like they are lackadaisical, and it just looks like they're going through the motions. And even watching them, like, if, you know, hey, I'm not going to say anything to them, you know, hey, I want to watch you drill, or just go join this class and drill. And if I just watch on the sideline, it looks like they're going through the motions. They're not biting with intensity. And what I mean by that is, like, making grips with any intensity and any realistic movement. They're not trying to improve from rep to rep. It just, it looks like, again, they're like, hey, we got 30 minutes of drilling. We got to drill this move. Teacher will bring us back in. He'll make an adjustment. We drill again. Then it's over. Thank God. Now I get to do what I want to do. And I get to do the real work, which is the grappling, or which is the live grappling. I think this is just a huge mistake. And I've been pointing out, because, again, a lot of people have been talking about this ecological way of teaching and training and all this stuff. And Greg Saunders obviously just had a huge weekend for standard jiu-jitsu at ADCC trials with both the Corbray brothers, doing phenomenally. And they got a champion, obviously, in DeAndre. So huge congrats to them. But at the same time, I just think it's just a load of crap, a lot of this stuff. Because when I think about the best athletes in the world, you're telling me that they don't do drill. Like, they drill. They do these dead drills, whether it's just shooting free throws. When I think about Kobe Bryant, you know, some of the workouts that he put himself through, there was a lot of dead drilling. He did a lot of, like, hey, I'm going to do this fadeaway 100 times from this same spot. That's the exact same thing as doing an Oshie entry or whatever it is, like an Imanari roll or a, you know, a snap down to a duck or whatever sequence you want to drill. It's the same exact thing. And I think you almost have to be maniacal. You have to be almost sociopathic in the way that you drill. And I think that drilling is one of the hardest things, especially mentally, to do. And I've told guys, and I've been telling them recently, I'm like, hey, like, you want to improve. Like, obviously, I think the team's been doing pretty good, but you guys want to get better. Then you need to treat drilling like it is the most important part of your training. And again, if you watch guys like Steph Curry, Kobe Bryant, just pick any sport, watch the greats, watch what they do. Most of those guys, especially I think the people that have maximized their potential, they have done tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of drilling. I feel like it used to be, like, the old saying was, you know, drillers make killers. And that was something I grew up with. And I feel like now, again, with all this, like, no, you just need to live train and you need to, you know, you watch, you study the tape of the best guys, and then you go in, you put yourself in some positional sparring, and then you roll. And that's how you create a champion. But when, again, I look at, like, the true greats of sports, or people that are, like, truly professional playing for millions and millions and millions of dollars, that's not what they do. While they do have aspects of that in their training, obviously, they do spend tons of time doing drills. And so I've challenged them, you know, and I especially challenged Travis, because Travis is, again, you guys know, he's a freak of nature. Just had a phenomenal weekend at Subversive, and he was coming back like, hey, what more can I do? Like, this is my job. I want to make this my job. And he's like, I need to train hard. I'm like, no, no, no. You need to drill more. And I told him, I was like, look, if you just choose a sequence and you drill that for a month and you put that on, and we're going to start a little team competition where we're going to see who can drill the most. They're going to pick one or two sequences and drill just those one or two sequences for the entire month. And we're going to see who's serious about being a competitor and being a champion. Because like I said, anybody can do the fun stuff. But I think the drilling, the like, hey, I'm going to show up to the gym and shoot 500 jump shots, that's where a lot of guys fell short. And I think that's where a lot of jiu-jitsu practitioners fall short. And especially if you have the time to put into it, you should be putting time into drilling. Now, best bang for your buck, right? If you just have an hour a week, yes, I would prioritize the 100% I'd prioritize live drill, so situational sparring. And then I would do some live rounds, right? So, hey, I've only got 1 hour to train every single week. Well, I would say, okay, you've got to do some studying on your own. And then when you come in, we're going to put you in some situational sparring. And then probably the last 15 minutes, we are going to do some open sparring. But now you're telling me, hey, I'm training every single day, or I'm able to train 5 days a week. That's when now I go, okay. We're going to change that formula up. And there definitely needs to be time spent dead drilling a sequence and doing that sequence over and over and over again, the same one. The big mistake people make is they're drilling different stuff every single training session. You go into your school, and especially if you have multiple teachers, this person's teaching you a leg lock entry, the next person's teaching you a takedown, and then the next person's teaching you a pass, and you don't get to put a lot of reps in. And then even when you're doing it, you don't understand how to drill, how important it is to drill with intention, and you're getting sloppy reps anyways. But if you just clean your drilling up, if you go in there and go at drilling like you're a professional, like, hey, this matters, like I am going to improve at this movement today, I guarantee you will be blown away by how much better you get. And honestly, guys, when I look at Mikey Musumeci, no offense to Mikey, I know he's got the abs, he's not an athlete, all right? Just because the dude has abs and some biceps does not make him an athlete. Just watch the way the dude moves. When him and his sister Tammy, when they run, when they jog around the mat and stuff, you can see these kids are, I guess they're adults now, but they were not meant to be world-class athletes. But when you listen to the way Mikey trains, by how much he drills a day and how much Tammy drills a day, it makes sense how now their movements look like, I mean, they look like robots. And while I don't expect any of you to drill as much as them, I'm just saying, if you could just take some of that, put it to your own game and just spend more time, like, hey, if I just spend 20 minutes three times a week, that's an hour a week of extra drilling. And at the end of the month, that'll be 4+ hours of drilling every single month. We're talking about an extra couple hundred reps on specific things you want to add to your game. You'll be shocked, especially those of you that are like, this is one of the things that I've noticed a lot. Because people have talked about how they don't have an A game. If you're one of those people, I don't have an A game. I don't know what my A game is. When I go into competition, I don't know what I'm going to do. It's because you haven't drilled a sequence thousands of times. And until you do that, you're going to feel, I don't know what my best, I don't have the trigger. Like, no, you need to just dead drill a sequence 1,000+ times, and you'll be shocked again how much more confident you are going in, especially with like, hey, I need to win. What's my A game? Well, it's the things I've drilled thousands and thousands and thousands of times. Till next time, guys, make sure you tune into the PGF. The draft starts tomorrow. It will be on Brandon's YouTube channel, as well as every single day up until the finale. And then the finale will be on UFC Fight Pass. This is a historic moment for the PGF. And it is going to be one of the greatest weeks in grappling history.